following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hi, I'm DJ3, and this is X's and O's Exposed. Today, we will explore the reasons for team successes and failures this season that are deeper than stereotypical answers like one team won more than the other. Welcome back to the fifth episode of the podcast, and today we will be focusing on the Boston Celtics, who all-time have the highest winning percentage of the entire NBA. They have a ridiculous 17 championships tied with the Lakers, which is by far the most in the NBA, only followed by the Warriors, Bulls, Spurs, and greats alike. But recently they haven't had as much success. You look back to 2008 when they won their last ring. Ever since then they've been rebuilding. You look back to when they made that trade with the Nets, and then they finally hit that reset button after everyone was too old. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. And since then, they haven't been able to make it all the way back to the finals. They've gone as far as the finals in 2009-10, in 2021, 2022. What's really going to take them over the hump? They had Kyrie Irving that one season, but those couple seasons, but he wasn't as productive as you'd want him to be. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, even though they've been great draft picks together, haven't been awesome, so let's dissect that. So Jason Tatum has been the bona fide star of the Celtics since he got there, averaging 27 points per game this season, 30 points per game last season, and he was fourth in MVP. He's made NBA first team the past couple of seasons, and he's been an all-star since 2019-2020. You look at him and all the stats look great. He's got all the points. He's got great assist numbers for his position. He's got 8 rebounds. He looks pretty phenomenal. But the thing is, in these playoff games, he hasn't really been able to do anything worthwhile. Even though he's gotten himself all the way to the finals, he's gotten himself all the way to the Western Conference Finals in those periods of time. The stats look okay, but you just watch the games and he hasn't been able to really appear in the clutch. Same with Jaylen Brown. You look back to him drafted in 2016, third overall pick, and he's been great for him too. He's averaging about 24 points per game over his career, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. You look at him and he can't even dribble with his left hand, which is something you'd want about every single NBA player to be able to do. And there are just some striking notes about this team that you wouldn't want to have with one of the best teams. You don't want these striking traits with your top players, but their depth and their other stars are going to be what's going to be the difference this season. So Drew Holiday has been on the Bucks, been on the Pelicans, been on the Sixers, and he's been just one of the best defenders by far, not ever making defensive player of the year, but always making that defensive first or second team. And in 2019-2020, when he didn't make it, it was definitely a snub. In Milwaukee, he helped them get all the way to a final, so he has that experience. He also can average as much as 20 points per game while giving you just a ridiculously good defensive presence. He also gets you good assist numbers with averaging 6 over his career and 4 rebounds per game, which is phenomenal for a guy of his caliber. You hear a lot of players like Kevin Durant, a lot of the greats, saying that Drew Holiday is absolutely the best defender in the league in terms of ones and twos, which is just incredible. And the fact that the Celtics were able to add that on top of their team last season that went all the way to the Western Conference Finals is crazy, along with Kristaps Porzingis, who is just fitting in super well with this team, shooting the three ball at an efficient rate at 37%. Coming from Washington, where he was just kind of overlooked because the team wasn't very good, but now he's averaging 20 points per game, a couple assists per game, and 7 rebounds per game, and he's just been great for them. And he's also been great defensively. A lot of people were saying that he was a liability defensively. He couldn't really do any of it. He's shown that he's really been able to be successful in this Celtics team, which, while it's easy to do that, it's not super easy to move from system to system, like New York to Dallas to Washington to Boston. So he's been great for them, and probably the most underrated piece who at this point might even start be who might even be overrated by this point is Derek White, who has just been awesome defensively. He might be even better than Drew Holiday. He made all defense second team last season. He's averaging 15 points per game for them. He has 5 assists, 4 total rebounds. And he's just great for them. You look at all the players that the Celtics have, you start to wonder why they wouldn't succeed. They have multiple players. They have 3 players averaging 20 or more points per game. You have so many great depth pieces, like Peyton Pritchard is coming in very well. Their field goal percentage is great. They're averaging 48%. They're averaging almost 40% from 3, which is just ridiculous for a team. Absolutely top of the league. Two-point percentage is 57%, which is awesome. 80% free throw percentage. The rebounds are looking great. About every stat that you look at is higher than last year. So all signs point towards them being a very competent team going into next season. But another question mark that you're looking at is the coach. Can Mazzulla make those playoff adjustments, those playoff rotations that are really going to be able to succeed? Is he going to be able to go to just a 7-man rotation when he needs to? Is he going to be able to rest his guys on the right nights? While all these players have been great, they really haven't been that injury prone. Looking at Jason Tatum's made 66 games, Jaylen Brown, 63 games, Drew Holiday, 61 games, Derek White, 66 games. You look at every other team in the league, you probably can't find a single other team that is this healthy and is this dominant. Obviously, the Celtics are one of the most dominant teams, but one of the factors is every single game they go into, they just care. You watch Jaylen Brown, who's just electrifying the offense, electrifying the defense, because he cares just like on those random Tuesday nights when other teams might not care. Even though just one game in the win column doesn't mean as much statistically, I think it's really elevating their game so that they're going to be ready when it comes to the playoffs. And while they aren't going too hard so that they don't get injured, I think that they're doing a fantastic job of keeping that energy that they need. You know, you watched the Heat series last year, minus all the narratives, minus everything. You watch the Heat just like really care. They have just a bunch of like scrappy guys who are second round picks, late first round picks, a lot of them undrafted, and they all just care. You can tell they all just really want to be there. And when they go up against a team like the Celtics, who came in as a 1 seed, projected to win in like 4, but the Heat really had that energy, and I think Jaylen Brown is helping this season to bring that energy to the court. Him, Derek White, Tatum, just about everyone on this team is ready for it, and they're just going at it every single game. You look at other role players like Al Horford, who at this point is 37 years old. He's been in the league since 2007. That's one of the oldest players in the league right now, longest tenured, but he's still been great for them, averaging 9 points per game, getting 7 rebounds, doing that dirty work, and still getting 3 assists. He's averaging 42% from 3, which is really underrated. He's still attempting 4 a game, so that's something that you really need, especially because the 3-ball is so effective in the league today. Averaging 64% from 2-pointers, 50% field goal percentage overall, and he's just been fantastic for them. Another player who I think that you should really highlight this season is Xavier Tillman. He's coming from Memphis this past season, and he was traded this season. Even though he's averaging low points, he's really helping them on the defensive end. He's getting a steal game, almost a block a game, not getting many turnovers himself. Even though he isn't shooting the 3-ball very well, he doesn't need to be. And he's still averaging a good field goal percentage of 51% and 80% from 2s, which is just phenomenal for them. He can come in just on a random night and really give him some height, some depth, which is really necessary. You look at the league and the 2 biggest factors nowadays are length and 3-point shooting. If you have just a bunch of guys on your team who just can provide a lot of length, make it harder to play offense against, that's really what you're going to need. And Xavier Tillman has been a great piece for this team. Now, if you look at the contract situation, that's when it starts getting a little tricky. Jaylen Brown right now is the most paid player in basketball history. He's making a guaranteed $320 million on that Supermax. And Jason Tatum this upcoming season is also going to have the ability for the exact same Supermax. And you start looking at the payroll and you're just wondering how they're going to keep everyone. So they have Drew Holiday here for probably a couple more years. Same with Kristaps, same with Derek White and Al Horford, and you have everyone here for a couple years, but after that, you're just stuck in salary cap hell. You're going to have to be making moves to be able to eliminate that salary cap by any means necessary. But when you have two players who are both guaranteed $640 million, that's really hard to get other free agents. Now, if they continue being great, if they have these pieces that are fantastic, I'm sure that they'll be able to get some more pieces because they're a big market team. But it's difficult when you're paying players that much, and it makes you wonder, are one of them going to get traded? Especially because you've been having these guys since 2016, and you have zero rings to show for it, but you have hundreds of millions of dollars that you've guaranteed to pay them. And it makes you wonder, is it time to reset, or do you just keep trying with these guys forever and ever? Now, I think Boston loves these guys. I think they want to stay there, even though Jaylen Brown has had some things there with the culture, but I think they want to stay there. I'm not positive how well this is going to work out, though. They have all the pieces this season, and if it's not this season or next season, I think it's going to be time to blow the team up. But I really think that they have a super high chance to succeed. If you look at FanDuel right now, the Celtics are plus 210 for the NBA championship. The Nuggets are plus 310. The Clippers are plus 550. Bucks plus 750. Thunder plus 1900. And Suns plus 2400, which isn't a bad bet. But the Celtics absolutely are looked at as a favorite, even though I think the Nuggets should be the clear favorite right now. But I think now has to be that go time where if they aren't competing, then it's going to be a serious issue, especially if they're going to lose to a team like the Heat. That's when you have to really start bringing up questions. Okay, we brought in Porzingis. Okay, we brought in Drew Holiday. Okay, we have Al Horford. We have all these other great guys, Derek White. But we just can't finish the job. That's when I think you have to start talking about trading. If you look at their trade pieces, they have a surprising amount for the level of team they are. They have their own 2024, 25. They have all of their own first-round picks until 2027, except they're missing their 2028 and 2029 one. Those are going to the Spurs and Portland. I think that they could rebuild if they really wanted to, especially because they have so many trade pieces. Now, obviously, do not rebuild right now. They have their guys. They are absolutely in win-now mode. If you want to finagle something in a couple years, if this just doesn't work out, it'll totally be available for you, especially with a great draft class in a couple of years. I think this is a team that has so many methods for success, whether it's by winning, whether it's by having to tank for a little bit. They're really set up super well. In terms of all the teams on the table, I think the Celtics have the best success outlook of all teams other than maybe the Nuggets because they have Jokic, the Thunder. Well, I think that's really it. You look at how great they are defensively. Based on the numbers, they rank as the second best in the NBA. They allow the second fewest shot attempts at the rim and surrender the third lowest field goal percentage on those attempts. They're tied for most block shots per game with four players averaging at least one swat per game and yielding the fifth fewest points in the paint per contest. Now, a lot of this has to do with talent. When you have Drew Holiday and Derek White on the team, it's really difficult to score with your guards, especially because Tatum and Brown are, though not necessarily all defense all the time, they're definitely above average defenders. I think Brown has a case for second team all defense. And like I said earlier, Porzingis provides that strong rim protection behind them. Their zone has been great with a 2-3 or a 2-1-2. They can even go into man if they need to. You watch them against the players. Al Holiday can be the center of a 2-3 zone, which is not natural, but he just does it so well. And especially in this NBA where it seems to be all about the offense, all about how you can get your own, how you can play however you want and still be able to score, especially with the referee jobs. But the Celtics have been great at stopping that. Even though I think offense definitely is more important in today's game, defense is so crucial in the playoffs. And I think that's going to be what's going to set the Celtics apart. Thank you. Peace.